Ezekiel, 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 Ezekiel. Here are all we've done so far on what's in the Old Testament for us. And I noticed at the beginning it was very general. In fact, we did Genesis one Sunday morning. That was it. And now I see that I'm getting more detailed and more detailed and pickier and pickier. And we're slowing down a little bit, but I think that's okay. I start thinking more and more as I go through these things of the kids. I just keep thinking of our kids as I read through these things. How can this be presented to our little kids, our young kids, our short, young in age, you know, little kids? Because I know that you adults have read Ezekiel, and you get out of it what you get out of it. If you get anything out of it, I hope you do. Or any of these Old Testament books, but I just, as I sit there and I read through these things, and I think, boy, how could Danica or even Zach hear some of this stuff, and Olivia and the kids, and I just have to realize that it's up to the parents or the grandparents to do that. And so I know that you're all busy and everything, and I would probably dare not ask this morning that anybody sit down with your kids this week and read through Ezekiel chapter 1. Did you try to explain it to them or read that to them in a level that they could picture and get? Because our kids have been bombarded with videos and movies and pictures of space things and creatures and critters, and it's all pretend. They know it's pretend. I hope they know that those things are pretend. But they're based on truth. I mean, that stuff. You know, there's some wild and crazy things that are coming up, and Ezekiel sees some amazing things. And I don't know, you've got to get your kids to get this stuff before they get too old and they're not interested, and they don't believe it any more than they believe that stuff. Because this is strange sounding stuff. When you read through Ezekiel, this is strange sounding stuff. Now, I know what our kids see during the week, and it just disturbs me. But what are you going to do? Well, listen, some of the stuff that you take your kids to, you ought not to. That's how you keep them from getting some of this junk that the world's trying to do to prepare this world for the Antichrist. You know that's what they're doing. And when this Antichrist shows up, and there's all this wild stuff that shows up, they're just being prepared for that sort of a thing. So here is your chance, when they're little like that and young like that, here's your chance to get them into some of this stuff, because it's real, it's true, and there's visions, and we know what's going on today is there's people claiming visions. Well, your kids hear those things. They talk to relatives, and they talk to friends, or they hear them on the TV or whatever, and those aren't. I mean, if what they see is real, it isn't from God, put it that way. And I think it would be fun to be able to sit down with some little kids and do Ezekiel. I mean, that's some real chunky meat. But in a manner that they could somehow picture this, and they come up with questions as you're talking to them. But see, I'm not sure your kids can sit still long enough to do this. I mean, I'm talking to folks out there as well. You've got to train them while you can when it comes to sit down and listening to Bible and reading Bible and talking about Bible. You can't just settle them down after 5 or 6 hours of space cadet and all of a sudden expect them to sit down and be interested in a little Bible chapter. This is called training, and this is exciting stuff to me. It's just looking at Ezekiel makes me think of the, because I'm an elementary level guy. I mean, I'm not into the deep stuff where everybody, you buy these books and all this, and you think this prophecy means whatever was Russian. I don't know. I just enjoy reading this and trying to decipher some of this stuff. And I think it'd be so fun to try to do that with your kids. I really do. For example, now today in Ezekiel, so anyway, here's all the notes from what we've done up to this part. And, I mean, for what it's worth, they are available. And not today, I mean, today I got so much stuff today, it can't be done. And it just frustrates me. My notes are huge today, even for the church thing. Yes. And,
I'll be doing good if we just do one.
I said this church thing 3 times a week just isn't enough, you know? Sometimes it just isn't enough. Now, I should be happy reading this myself, but I'm not. I wish we should have our kids. So this stuff with Ezekiel is kind of geared for the kids, I hope, this morning. And yet, I'll probably lose them in the first 5 or 6 minutes. Now, Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 28. It just tells us what chapter 1 was. It was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. So he saw this. And when he saw that, it says, when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. So we kind of talked about that last week, what he saw, wheels within wheels, and whether they be gears or not. I think Sam or somebody, Austin or somebody mentioned that. Austin, oh, he's out combining. And he said, that could be gears. Well, yeah, it could be wheels within a wheel, and who knows. But see, you get them picking this stuff. You get them thinking about this stuff. Now, chapter 2 is what this voice says. And always remind your kids that in the Old Testament days, God did speak to them. And today, he speaks to us through the Bible. And that's so important for them to understand. Okay, now, if we're going to do all this, how do I just break this down? How do I take a huge meal and make it into a sandwich? Look at chapter 2, verse 2. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. Look at chapter 3, verse 12. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing, saying, Blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place. Look at verse 14. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away. And I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Look at verse 24. Then the Spirit entered into me and set me upon my feet and spake with me and said unto me, Go, shut thyself within thine house. Look at chapter 8. He's sitting in his house in verse 1, that the hand of the Lord of God fell there upon me. Verse 2, then I beheld, and lo, a likeness as the appearance of fire, from the appearance of his loins even downward, fire, and from his loins even upward, as the appearance of brightness, as the color of amber. And he put forth the form of an hand, and took me by a lock of my head, and the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven, and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looketh toward the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy which provoked to jealousy. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, according to the vision that I saw in the plain. Look at chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 17. When they stood, these stood, and when they were lifted up, these lifted up themselves also, for the spirit of the living creature was in them. Look at chapter 11, verse 1. Moreover, the Spirit lifted me up and brought me unto the east gate of the Lord's house, which looketh eastward, and beheld at the door of the gate 25 men, among whom I saw Jazaniah, the son of Azur, and Pelisha, the son of Benaiah, princes of the people, then said unto me, etc., etc. Look at chapter 37. Chapter 37. Right. Chapter 7, verse 31. Verse 1. Verse 1. 37, verse 1. Chapter 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. There's a marvelous story to read to the kids there. And then chapter 43, verse 5, which we'll get to some of those over time here, I suppose. Chapter 43, verse 5, so the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house, and I heard him speaking unto me out of the house. Just, these are things that took place with Ezekiel. And listen, your kids, I'm not picking on your kids this morning, they didn't get what we just read, probably. They probably didn't get it. And take the time to sit down with these kids and get the notes if you need to. Those were things that happened to Ezekiel, that the Spirit came and took him these places and stood him up on his feet. And those things happened. And you've got to present it to them in a manner that they can get it. Don't be in a hurry. We're too much in a hurry. Okay, so anyway, let's go back to 11, chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 19. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for those, and it goes on, look at chapter 18, verse 31. 18:31. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore turn yourselves and live. And it goes on. It goes on to chapter 26 and chapter 36, 37, and 39. And then look at chapter 13. Look at chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 3. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. So do you see the conflict in Ezekiel's day? I mean, God would show Ezekiel something, and he would tell him these things, and he would hear from God, and he would take him to different places, and there was promises made by God about the Spirit to these people and their future if they would take heed to what God's saying to Ezekiel, because Ezekiel had to be the one to tell these people that. So what do we have today is we have people today that think God is telling them these things, and 99.9% of this world believes these guys because of their degree, or their suit, or their riches, or their personalities, or whatever, because they've been taught to believe all this stuff takes place today, and it doesn't. But it did take place sometime, and our kids need to learn that it did happen one time. And when God says right there in 13:3, they have seen nothing. They see nothing today. You see it in this Bible. And there's a study right there on the Spirit. Look at all the verses that the Spirit gave to Ezekiel. Read the rest of the promises of the Spirit. And then the comment there about the other people don't see anything. They follow their own spirit, not God's. Now, let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 3. That's one chunk. And that was just a quick chunk. I hope that was just enough for if you're interested, get these notes. They're online, or I'll give you a copy here. And if your kids have seen all this Star, because Star Wars is like major old, but I don't know whatever the modern spacey stuff is today, then they need to hear this stuff and realize what's true and that other stuff is not true. Now, Ezekiel chapter 3. Chapters 2 and 3 is what the voice says to Ezekiel, and this would be what we would say would be Ezekiel's commission. This is what God wanted Ezekiel to do and what he wanted him to be. Quite a deal, actually. Look at verse 17. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth and give them warning from me. And that's what he was supposed to do. Now, but just look at verse 17. Hear the word at my mouth. Now, what is that? This doesn't say, hear the word of my mouth. It says, hear the word at my mouth. But that has to, I mean, at my mouth means at his mouth. He had to hear it directly from God. That's all I could come up with that. Does that make sense? At my mouth. Hear what I say. Hear at my mouth. Hear right what I'm saying. And that's what Ezekiel does. Where do we hear at God's mouth today? The Bible. That's at God's mouth right there. That's the mouth of God. So he's to be the watchman. We look at chapter 2, back to chapter 2, verse 3. Here we go. This is what that voice says to Ezekiel. Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even unto this day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. Because he gets his words where? At God's mouth. Okay? 5. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee, be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house, open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. So there's what he's told Ezekiel to do. He has to go to a rebellious nation. They have a hard heart, impudent children, stiff-hearted, there we go. And I'm just thinking as we talk here, you know that there are parents today that are just deathly afraid of their children. They're just afraid of their kids. And that's amazing to me. But I suppose if the kids are old enough, it could be scary. If you can't whip them, I guess, or whatever. But we're afraid to tell our kids things that we think might cause them unhappiness or stress or something. And we need not be that way. But then he also says in verse 8, be not thou rebellious either. So we can't be like our children towards God. And do you ever find yourself when you're kind of chewing up your kids a little bit that you find out that you're that way with God, as his child of God? Ever recognize that? You wouldn't say that you did, so you can move a little bit. I do. I remember I did when I had the kids. I remember some things, and even to this day still, I can think of some things that, who am I to preach this? You know, who are you to tell your kids what you tell them if they see what you do? Or where you go, or how you act? Who are we? Just like, that's what he's saying to Ezekiel. By the way, Ezekiel, don't be like them now. You're going to go out there and tell them, now don't you be like them. And when I look in verse 9, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of the book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. What a bleak message Ezekiel had for the people. But that's what they needed to hear. And how often do we not want to tell the truth to our children about what's going on in their lives because it's bleak? They're not doing well, and we try to do the positive approach. And I realize that there's a lot of value to that because of Paul, et cetera, et cetera. And we can't go to Ezekiel for our example. We go to Ezekiel for our end sample. This is what he had to do for the people in those days. But still, it ought to make us realize that quite often we get on our kids for things that we're doing. And he was told not to do that. Now Ezekiel was given a book, and he had to eat that book. And you have a book, and you need to eat that thing, as he says in chapter 3. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll, and speak, and go speak unto the house of Israel. Okay. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels of this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Wow. So it was good. It was sweet. It's like the fourth cinnamon roll. You know, it's still sweet. But you get filled up with it, and after a while, you could get it. Ever had a tummy ache? You ever had your from eating something you shouldn't have eaten? You know, but boy, it sure did taste good. I mean, it was, whew, man, that tasted good. And those of you who have eating problems because of the taste of something, I had mine under control. One chocolate of the year is all I need. But we find ourselves going beyond. We know what's going to happen. We know what's going to happen. It's not going to be good for us. I don't know how this little thing can put on 10 pounds, but it can. Those kind of deals. And look at the people that drink. I mean, they just get plastered. They drink away, and I'll talk about that later this morning, possibly. It's a shameful thing, and yet they do it, and they know what it's going to be like in the morning. They just know. And people do it. So we read this Bible, and for the longest time, it was marvelous. It was sweet. It was great stuff about Paul. And now we get into the stuff that's kind of hard, and it just doesn't quite go as well as it did. See what I'm saying? Same thing with Ezekiel. He's reading this thing, he's eating this thing, and it's sweet to him, and yet what he has to tell the people is very, very hard. Rebellious nation, etc., etc. And he's got himself some challenges coming up. Look at chapter 2, look at verse, we did that chapter 2, verse 9, let's read 3, okay. Chapter 3, verse 17, let's go back to 17. I'm trying to put as much food on the plate as I can this morning. This is just mean stuff. I guess I'm just going to enjoy myself. Marvelous. Chapter 3, verse 17. Something he said. Now we're skipping a lot of stuff here, which is hard. Now go back up to 11 real quick, like I see a pencil mark here. Last sentence in that verse says, Thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. And if you remember last week's message, was it Wednesday night? It might have been Sunday. Is that what I'm supposed to do? Preach the word, whether they hear it or not, I guess that's not my problem. Parents, you just tell your kids what's right and what's wrong, and if they don't do it, is that not your problem? Do we just ignore it? You can't just ignore it. Ezekiel had to go out there and tell people everything, and what they have to learn. They had to learn that they heard from God. That's all he had to do. Whether they were going to change wasn't really Ezekiel's thing. He was just supposed to tell them. Now we see in verse 17 what he has to tell them. A warning. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman into the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Wow. You better witness to every person you find. But that was back in those days. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Okay? So, you're all right. So, the point there is Ezekiel, all Ezekiel had to do was to tell him. That's all he had to do. He had to make sure at least he would tell him. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness, verse 20, and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin. And his righteousness, which he hath done, shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live. Because he is warned, also thou hast delivered thy soul. So that's the way Ezekiel is supposed to look at things. Aren't you glad your soul isn't dependent on your witness? I mean, how many would be going to heaven today if we were to die today, you know, going to be with the Lord today, based on our witnessing? I don't think any of us would be going. I mean, who am I to tell you how your witness job has been? And I've talked to people, and I've warned people, but there's a lot of people I haven't talked to, a lot of people I haven't warned. Matter of fact, there's still some things I should say to our church family, but I still don't have the guts to say it. I just, that's just, and I don't mean that in shame, in a shaming manner, or it's a concern that I have. And if I don't say something, are they gonna get it? I don't know, but I don't have the proof to say some things yet. And I'm sorry, that's me. But boy, am I so glad that my soul in eternity is not based on that. But, what if it was? Then you start telling people what you need to tell them, based on the Word of God, because that's what you need to tell them. Not what you think, but what the Bible says. So I'm reading along my Bible here, and I see some things, oh man, that would be so, that is so good for some, da-da-da-da-da. Oh yeah, but boy, you know, if you bring that up, it's like, oh man, I'm sure glad I'm not Ezekiel. Many ways I'm glad I'm not Ezekiel. That's one of them. The witness. Now, so anyway, there's that comment there. Let's look at chapter 3, verse 26. Well, we might as well read 24, because this is one of those experiences he has. Then the Spirit entered into me and set me upon my feet and spake with me and said unto me, go, shut thyself within thine house. But thou, O son of man, behold, they shall put bands upon thee and shall bind thee with them, and thou shalt not go out among them. And I will make thy tongue cleave to the roof of thy mouth, that thou shalt be dumb, and shalt not be to them a reprover. For they are a rebellious house. So, get home, and there's a bunch of folks out there that don't tell them anything. They're rebellious. I'm going to keep you from saying something. Don't you wish God had sometime had kept you from saying something? You know, Jerry walked into the building the other day, and I want to say, Jerry, I've been reading some stuff the other day in my Bible. God doesn't want me to tell that to him. Or Tim or something, or in the middle of a sermon. I'm going to say, oh, don't say that. That would be so nice. Because if I can get words out, they're his. And if he doesn't want me to say something, wouldn't that be a marvelous thing? I can just so relax. But no, he says, oh, why did you say that? Oh. And the Spirit of God in me is grieved and quenched because of maybe some of the things that I've said. You ever been there? Surely not anybody here is that manner. That everything you have said has been what needed to be said. You're just Mr. Eloquent Mouth, right? No, but that, I tell you, Ezekiel 27. But when I speak with thee, I will open thy mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, he that heareth, let him hear, he that forbeareth, let him forbear, for they are a rebellious house. Go out there and tell him what I tell you to tell him. Boy, he gives us a Bible. And this is what our kids need to hear more than anything else. And we can't keep our mouth shut about life, but we ought to keep our mouth more shut than we do. One amen. That's it. One. Yeah, the one time you shut your mouth is when you're supposed to say, yes, that's right, I ought to keep my mouth shut a little more often. I'm not talking to me, I mean you. I already know I should keep my mouth shut. You don't need to tell me. Why don't you just keep your mouth shut a little bit here and give us some scriptures? Yeah. Okay, Ezekiel chapter 12. So, he gives us a Bible. And here we are today, looking back in time at the truth of Ezekiel's days. Now, Ezekiel chapter 12, there are some things that have to take place that Ezekiel has to do. Why is that? Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 11. Say, I am your sign. That's why. Ezekiel was a what to the people? He was a sign. He didn't just stand up there and say things. No. He had to really get involved with his sermons. He had to actually do some things here. Look at chapter 4, verse 3. And I can hear somebody saying to me, oh, but I don't want my little child to hear about these cakes that Ezekiel had to make. Oh, that's just too gross to teach that to my children. And then during the week, you're giving the world 1,000 times worse than that story of truth. Did you hear me on that one, parents? There are some things that you don't want your kids to hear in this Bible, and yet what you subject them to in movies and videos and activities and places to go and people you're around, it's a thousand times worse than what that Bible ever has to say. So don't say, I don't want them to learn about those bounties. That's terrible. No, don't go there. Don't go there. Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 3. There's just a segment of some of these. Moreover, take thou unto thee an iron pan, and set it for a wall of iron between thee and the city, and set thy face against it, and it shall be besieged, and thou shalt lay siege against it. We'll talk about that event later, but look what it is. This shall be a sign to the house of Israel. Now, we've got verses in 12:6, 14:8, 20:12, 20:20. It all says that he's a sign between me and you. 24 says, this Ezekiel is unto you a sign. Verse 27, in that day shall thy mouth be open to him which is escaped, and thou shalt speak and be no more dumb, and thou shalt be a sign unto them. So Ezekiel had to do things so they would see that, and they would get a message from that thing. And the message God had for those folks was a horrible message. I mean, they're in big trouble. And to take that cake and mix it with that and eat it and tell them this is what's going to happen, this is how rotten and defiled you are, that tells them quite a bit. We learn very well from object lessons still. If we had the time and I took the time and we got together more often, or if I just quit putting so much on the plate and wanted to do a little bitty lesson and get up here and get some props and all this kind of stuff, and some of those lessons, our kids, same thing as you, you'd never forget them. I remember some object lessons I did back in my Bible club back in South Dakota. It's a school there. Tied up the kid, put the strings on him, popped all kinds of stuff. I remember those things, and I'll bet you so do those kids. The one is in prison. I can't remember them one of these days, but sad to say. So Ezekiel had a purpose, and he was to be their sign as well as what he said. Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Just quick, I don't think we need to go through this a whole lot. It's all in the notes. There's a complete study, I suppose you would call it. We branch off on the website, on the notes, to the fact that what about signs today? Well, we know, chapter 1, verse 22, I would imagine your verse is probably circled or marked or something. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. And we go through these verses in chapter 14 and... we go to Acts 26 and 26 and 28 and all these things, and we see that going to Gentiles, there's no signs. And I know you know that. But do you know the verses? Could you show somebody why we don't follow signs today? You know, you've got to be able to show them scriptures. You can't just tell them, well, we're Gentiles, we don't have to follow signs. Really? Because what's out in the world today? Signs. There's signs all over the place. Look at Matthew 24. What's going on? Matthew 24:24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now, look at Mark. Mark 13. Verse 22. There it is again. So, in these days, that when the Lord's going to come back here and the judgment's going to take place, there's going to be a lot of lying people talking about signs and wonders, and it says showing signs and wonders. If you show a wonder, what are they going to see? A wonder. Wow, that's amazing. That's an amazing thing. We're going to that church. That kind of a deal. And signs. It says they'll be there. We know they're not from God. How do we know that? Because this isn't the time for the Jews. This is the time for the Gentiles. And the Jews can get saved just like anybody else as a Gentile, but the message is directed to Gentiles. And there are no signs. None. Zip. Now, we see things in our scriptures, and we see things taking place in this world, and the scriptures come true. Right? So, in a way, to us, that's a sign. That's how we look at it, isn't it? But it's not meant as a sign. We see things take place in this Bible, and then we see some things happen in the world, in life, and it's almost like it's a wonder. It's like, wow, that's amazing. Things are taking place. And the Bible said about that. But it is not a wonder to prove wonders today. Signs and wonders and miracles will be taking place more and more as we get close to the tribulation, because that's what will be going on in the tribulation. And people are going to just be deceived and tricked all over the place. Look at Mark chapter 16. This is why I am so adamant about the Great Commission. Why it is such a deception. And why I get so over this thing is in Mark chapter 16, verse 17, that if the missionaries that I know that have been through here, and there's still one today that I know of still, they will go to Mark chapter 16, verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And they will not go to verse 17. And these signs shall follow them. That's why the Great Commission to me is a horrible, horrible hoax. And so many good people, and even good pastors, go to this thing. They just don't go to 17 and 18 and 19:20. Look at verse 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Now, this just isn't the apostle, guys. These are the people. This is everybody. So, we see without a shadow of a doubt what's going on today, that any signs or wonders are of the devil. Revelation 14, Revelation 16 talks about that. The three frogs, etc., etc. No, we're not in the tribulation, but we're getting closer. Do I see that as a sign? No, because God doesn't say he's going to show us signs. But you read your Bible and you study signs, you see what's happening. There are signs being shown to people, but they're not from God. Those signs are to get people hooked up with the Antichrist when he shows up. And you got to be involved with the church that's going to be involved with the preaching and the teaching of what the Antichrist wants to be taught, which is what Jesus has taught. But Jesus went to Paul for the truth to us today. And the Antichrist is using Jesus' teachings and signs and wonders to deceive people to think that they're going to follow him. That's what's going on. And that's why I'm so worried about this. Because it's everywhere. And if your kids don't have fun here, they're not going to want to be here eventually. And if the number one thing for your kids in life is to have fun, then they will go to a church who has fun when they get the time to do it. I promise you that. If this is not enjoyable to sit down with your Bible with your kids and show them the excitement and the joy of learning these things, and not just a memorize this and get this, or I'm going to spank you, you can't go outside or whatever, they're not going to be in this book when the time comes. I promise you that. Because there is such chocolate out there. The world is just oozing with chocolate. Now, don't go anywhere with that. That's totally it. Don't even think about it. I thought as soon as I said that, the mayor of New Orleans got in trouble for that, calling it a chocolate city. I'll just call it a chocolate world. And that's one of those things God says, hey, I could have put that tongue to your roof or your mouth about 20 seconds ago. Let's go to chapter 18. We can do a quick one here. We may get some of this in. Here's something else in Ezekiel. Oh, may I tell you? Yep, Ezekiel 18. I'm just as guilty as you parents. When the grandkids are here, I want to do stuff and go shooting, hunting, and playing, all this kind of stuff. And it's hard to settle them down to do some stuff. Or you're tired and fall asleep while you're doing it. Or just doesn't concentrate. You got interruptions from the brothers to the sisters. I mean, how do you do this? I don't know, but I'll tell you, this is such exciting stuff if you could. You know, maybe part of it is the fact that you're not excited. How can you pass on something exciting if it's not exciting to you? And I'm having a great time with Ezekiel. I haven't dug into the depth. I'm not interested in the depth. Maybe God will show me something deep if I learn how to swim someday. But, I'm just enjoying the, what do you call it, the surface, what do you call that, the, just the surface of this stuff. I'd like to surface? Another word for that sort of a thing, but anyway. Chapter 18, now here's a comment, before we read some of these verses. Blaming our parents for why we're the way we are today. And we are the way we are, it's because of our parents. I mean, that's the reason why the way he is why, you know, there you are. But, the word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, what mean ye that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge? As I live, saith the Lord God, ye shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And you read through chapter 18, and you see how God explains, okay, Dad's got his stuff, and Dad taught his kids some bad things, and Dad will be accountable for that thing. And there's a dad that taught the kids some good things, and the son learned some good things, and how does that go in God's eyes? I mean, when you and then you go here to Romans 14, so that every one of us should give account of himself to God, we are not going to be able to say, well, it's my parents that made me this way. We have a Bible. Ezekiel had God speaking to him. These people had Ezekiel speaking to them. They're without excuse. Our parents are not an excuse. They help us understand our old nature, right? And we find ourselves teaching and being in our families like our parents taught us, because it's the only example we have. Except, right here is where we're supposed to get how to be. So we will be accountable to the book. Did we or did we not get it and try to make it work in our family, or do we just continue our whole life trying to be like we were brought up? So there's a whole bunch of good stuff in Ezekiel chapter 18. So read it if you'd like. And see, we can do it. Look at verse 5. Another point here. You haven't even swallowed the second piece of steak you got. It's okay. Stuck it in the right cheek. Let's chew another one here. Chapter 18, verse 5. Here's what a just man is. If a man be just and do that which is lawful and right, and hath not eaten upon the mountains, neither hath lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, neither hath defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath come near to a menstruous woman, and hath not oppressed any, but hath restored to the debtor his pledge, hath spoiled none by violence, hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with a garment, he that hath not given forth upon usury, neither hath taken any increase, that hath withdrawn his hand from iniquity, hath executed true judgment between man and man, hath walked in my statutes, and hath kept my judgments to deal truly, he is just. Hey, there you are. If that's what you want to do to be a just person, there you are. Now, Habakkuk says, behold, his soul is lifted up, which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. So in Habakkuk, the Old Testament people, they had to live by their faith, and they had to follow that to be just. There's the list right there. But Paul says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith, and that's his faith, but he will still have us do these things. Like what God preaches to, or what Jesus tells Paul. Are we just? Not according to Ezekiel, but he does give us some direction in Paul's teachings. So, that was just another quickie there. Old Testament, New Testament. Now remember, Gospels is still what? Old Testament. Until Christ died, that is still Old Testament. That's why Christ had to walk the walk he did. He had to walk that. Christ had to be just. He had to walk that. Okay.